That's Jesus Christ. Without Him, there is no hope. Go ahead and turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This morning, I want to ask a question and maybe deal with it a little bit. Think about it. That is, do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? I think that's a powerful question. And what we see is that whenever you have fully given your life to Jesus Christ, then you belong to Him. There's a transformation there. And you actually are His. And you know, what does that look like? What does belonging to Christ look like? And I hope you do belong to Jesus Christ. But if you do belong to Jesus Christ, does your life look like that? Does it look like you belong to Jesus Christ? And then if we know what Christianity looks like, what does it look like to belong to Christ? Do you really want that? Because a lot of people are hearing a message about Jesus Christ, and it's a message very fluffed up, very centered on yourself, on you. And it doesn't look like the message of Jesus Christ. It doesn't look like the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't look like you belonging to Jesus Christ. And that's what a lot of people want. But if you know what belonging to Jesus Christ looks like, do you really want it? These are just some things that I've been thinking about, especially just coming from this verse here. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 24 and 25. Galatians 5, 24 says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Dear Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You for giving Your life for us. I thank You, Lord, that You were willing. You were willing to die. You were willing to sacrifice Yourself. Lord, You went to the cross, and Your death is what gives us life. Lord, we're amazed at that today. Lord, today we want to reflect on what that means. We want to reflect on what's happened in our life. We want to reflect on who we are and we belong to You. Lord Jesus, if there's things that we need to get right, if there's things that we need to fix or change, Lord, I just pray that You'd have Your free will done in our life, that You would be the one that could stir us, that could move us, that could mold us. Lord, make us what You want. We're here for You. Lord, we praise You and we're grateful for You. And we ask that Your Spirit would move today among us freely. Give me the words to speak, the clarity, Lord, to be able to express the thoughts that have been given to me. Lord, I pray that You just be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul says something here quite interesting. And I think what he's saying is, if you're a Christian, you should live like a Christian. I think that's the conclusion. That's what he's saying. He's talking about your life should look like a Christian's life if you belong to Christ. He just gave us a list of the differences between the flesh and the differences between the spirit. And they're very contrasting. And so then he says, belong to Christ, they that are Christ, you belong to Christ, he says, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. And so if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And I want you to know, first of all, if you're not clear on this, if you're not clear on what this means, I want this to be clear. Your life and the only way that you can have life is in the Spirit. The only way you can actually live and have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. You cannot earn life through the works that you do. You cannot earn life through what you do in the flesh, okay? And that's why he says, if we live in the Spirit. Listen, if you live, it's because you live in the Spirit. You are dead in your own trespasses and sins, and you need the Spirit of God through the work of Jesus Christ that He did and accomplished on Calvary. You need that to have life. You need that to have eternal life. And that's what He's talking about. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you are a Christian, if you belong to Christ, then you should live like a Christian. If you have life, then you should live in that life. And so this is what has been on my mind. And there is no life outside of Christ. And so if you are in Christ, then you need to live like Christ. I think that one of the reasons why I think this is important is because you become Christ, you become His whenever you get saved. And this is, I think, a really good way of looking at it. Because a lot of times being saved is something we associate with ourselves. Again, it's a centered around us thing. But the truth is that when you're saved, you become His. And I'll give you a couple verses. I'll read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Listen, you belong to Him. You are His. Okay? And so this is what life looks like. This is what eternal life looks like. This is what salvation looks like. It's that you become His. You belong to Christ. And I don't want the doctrine of eternal security, okay, to confuse us. The doctrine of eternal security is not to make you feel comfortable. And the doctrine of eternal security is not to disregard holiness. And I think there is something we have to beware of there, because we can get comfortable in thinking and the doctrine that, well, everything's okay. You're saved and you're not going to lose that salvation. And that's a true doctrine. Listen, the only reason you're saved is because of the work of Jesus Christ.
Correct.
And there's no way you can lose your salvation, because it never depended upon you.
Amen.
And it never will depend upon you. Because if it ever did depend upon you, you'd lose it.
That's true.
Okay? So that needs to be very clear. Your salvation is eternal, and it's guaranteed if your salvation is in Jesus Christ, and nothing can take that away. But that should not make you feel comfortable with sin. And Paul has to deal with this constantly. He has to tell people, hey, this is not a license for you to go out and live whatever way you want. Oh, well, because I'm saved, I can't lose my salvation. Does that mean I can do anything I want? No. It doesn't mean you can do anything you want. You should not let this thinking grow in your mind. You cannot do anything you want. You are not to feel comfortable with sin or disregard holiness. Do not think that holiness doesn't matter. I mean, if you're saved, then who cares about how holy you are? No, the truth is, it does matter. And the truth is that it should be just a sequence. I mean, if you get saved and if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, then it is expected that Christ being in you is going to reflect outwardly in your life. That's an expectation. And that's how the Bible presents it. That's how the New Testament is preached. It's that there is an expectation for those that are in Christ to live like Christ lived. But I think there is a decline in the intent of Christians to want to live holy. And I think there's a lot of reasons why, but it could be that we just don't see the point. And if we're not going to lose our salvation, then why does it really matter? And we can't be confused on all these things. We have to put things where they belong. And so he says in verse 24, "And they that are Christ's Okay, listen. They that are Christ's, this is you and me. If you claim today that you're saved, if you claim today that you belong to Christ, He's got a message for you. And the message isn't one of, you know, maybe or you know, it could be this way or it could be that way. No, He says, if you are Christ's, this is what has happened. You have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You have crucified yourself. See, being in Christ, being a Christian, is a full surrender of yourself. That's what Christianity is. It's a full surrender of yourself, and therefore, you are dead to yourself. And now you're supposed to live to Christ. Now, I don't think any of us can say that we are fully, that we see this completely in our life at every moment of every day. But I think this is the attitude that a Christian lives with. This should be the mentality that a Christian lives with. We should desire to be this on a daily basis. And that's why Christ does say, take up your cross and follow me. And Paul talks about it as putting on the new man. And that's daily. That's every day. There's a way we ought to be. We have to put on the new man. We should not be living according to the old man's desires and the old man's wants anymore.
Right. Amen.
We're different. Because if we belong to Christ, there should be a goal. Our goal should be to die to ourselves and be fully, completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. So, I have a couple questions. And first, I'm going to deal with these in three different ways. There's a lot of ways we could do it. I'm going to try it this way. First question is your mind consumed by Christ? I think there is an expectation that a Christian who belongs to Christ should be consumed by thinking about Christ. Our mind should be consumed on Christ. Let's just turn to, we'll turn to Philippians chapter 4 to start. Philippians chapter 4. The first point I'm basically making or wanting us to consider is that of our mind. When we are crucified, when we crucify our flesh and the lusts thereof, right? What are we crucifying? We're crucifying our mind. Where does it begin? God deals with us and it begins with our mind. He deals with our mind, with what we think, with our thoughts, with everything that's going on in here. And He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. He says, hey, listen, this is what should be in your mind. Paul says, this is what you should be thinking about. Listen, there's a whole lot of things that you can have in your mind. And this is the amazing thing about our mind. It's just, there's so much information. There's so much stuff that we can have in our mind. It can consume us. And if we're not careful, if we're not mindful, and if we don't remember that we belong to Christ, we can allow other things to grow in our mind. I think we should look at our mind as a garden, right? What seeds are you planting in your mind? You can have thoughts of God's word and His promise, and I think that's why it is very important to read the scriptures. Very important to know your Bible, because you are planting things in your mind and you need to be filled with the knowledge of His word so that it can be a garden that is fruitful. Because your mind can be full of His promises and of His words, or your mind can be full of worry and doubt and worldly concerns. Your mind can be full of a lot of different things. And I think One of the things is that we can get distracted from Christ very easily. There's a whole lot of things that we can be concerned about. And it can take away our thoughts, it can take away our mind from being on what is priority. There, you know, he says we should be careful for nothing in verse 6. Careful for nothing. You know, that's just even hard to think about. That's hard for us to even consider, that you be careful for nothing. That you have nothing that is bothering you, that is causing you anxiety, that's causing you to be careful, to be thinking about, that you are carefree. That's hard for us to think. And it's because there's so many things to be careful of. There's so many things that we can just look around. I mean, there's things all over, all around. And if you're not careful, but don't be careful. If you're not careful, you can let all the cares of the world consume your mind.
That's true.
And it'll take away your focus from where it should be. He says, think on these things. You decide what you think about. That's a decision you get to make. You don't have an excuse to say, oh, well, it's just that I have this and there's this going on and all these other things. Listen, you choose what you want to think about. You choose what to dwell on. A lot of people have somebody that did something against them, and a lot of people hold resentment towards that person. And you know what? You choose whether you dwell on that or not. That's your choice. Because it's your mind and you control what you think about. But you know what he says? He says what you need to be thinking about are all these good things.
Right.
That's what you should be thinking about. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, all these things of good report, of virtue, of praise,
amen,
those are the things you should be thinking about. And yet we so easily let things that are not important consume our mind. Fill our mind with things that are not important. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to see something there also. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Not only can we get very fully distracted from what is important, and we can even get to the point where we're ignoring things that are of great importance because we're distracted by things that shouldn't even be taking up space in our mind. For example, the missions that we've spoken about, getting the gospel to the world. There's people that have never heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Never heard it. That should fill up our mind. We should be concerned with that. We should see Jesus' words as he's saying, hey, look out. The harvest is great. There's plenty. There's stuff to do. And there's very few laborers. And Jesus is saying, hey, focus on this. Why is nobody focused on this? He's trying to get our attention to things that are important, and yet we can so easily be distracted thinking about what baseball game is up next. And they may not even be really horrible, bad things, but there's just so many things that are meaningless that are filling up our mind, and we're being distracted from what's really important. And yet there are some things that can actually fill up our mind that are against God. He says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You think there's a battle in your mind going on?
Amen.
I think there is. I think there's something in your mind, and we have to get a hold of it. And we can get a hold of it, right? That's the expression that he has. He says, what we can do is we can cast down imaginations. Boy, there's a lot of things that pop up into your head, and we need to learn how to smash them down.
Amen.
And don't act like you don't have any of those thoughts. We all do. Trust me, we're human, and you have an old man that is full of lusts, that is full of desires, that is full of passions, that's full of wicked imaginations. We all have it, but we are supposed to crucify it.
Amen.
If we belong to Christ. That's what he says. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know there's stuff that you know about God. And that's the beautiful thing about reading his word. You can know some things about God. You read it and you underline it, you highlight it, and you see these things are true about God, and there's going to be some things that are going to come up and they're going to go against what you know about God. And what we need to do is we need to be able to put a stop to those. Don't let those build up in your mind. Those are weeds that need to be rooted out.
Amen.
Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To me, one of the most incredible things, and I think this is just true, that we all should know that, right? One of the most incredible things is the mind. The mind. I mean, the mind is just incredible. And the mind can see things and think things that are just crazy. It really is. Your mind, if you let it have free range, you have no idea where it can go. And that's probably getting very popular. We want to just have a free mind and see how far we can go and all the crazy things we can think of. And that's you know, very exciting to a lot of people. He says we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Listen, if it's not serving Christ, if it's not for Christ, if it's not something good, if it's not on the list of things that I think Christ would be thinking about, then why should we be thinking about it?
Amen.
And we should make a real effort to fix our mind. Fix our mind. A couple other things. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. He here is also giving a list of how we ought to be. How should Christians want to be? What should be our desire? How should we want to live, right? And this is the thing about Christianity, is it's transforming. And it transforms our life. It transforms who we are. And people are going to say, well, who are you? You're different. Because it does transform our life. It makes us a different person. Because the things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. We do different things. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That's what a Christian desires. That's what a Christian wants to do. A Christian wants to prove, to find out what things are pleasing to God.
Amen.
And that's where our focus should be.
Amen.
Now you know when you have your spouse's thoughts or not, right? I think any women that are married are going to say, oh yeah, I know if my husband's thinking about me or not. You know? Your wife knows if you're consumed by thinking of her all the time or if you're not. Well, that's true because it's very visible, right? It's going to show itself. It's going to manifest itself. Well, the same thing with Christ. If you are consumed by the thoughts of Christ, it's going to be visible because you're going to want to please Him. And pleasing Christ is one of the things that we should have in our mind. That should be something that consumes our mind. We want to be pleasing to Him. Because whenever it says that we crucify our flesh, what is that saying? It's saying that we crucify ourselves. It's saying we die to ourselves and now we're living for Him. Right? We're living for Him. And the greatest thing, or one of the interesting things about being Christians, it says that we're not to be self-willed. We're not to be living out our life trying to please ourselves. See, Christianity goes against almost the great thinking of the world. Because the world would think and the world will teach and all those great speakers will tell you with motivation that you should seek to please yourself. And you should seek to do all those things that you desire. And yet, the Christianity that the Bible teaches is you don't live for yourself. You don't seek to please yourself. You don't seek your own will. You're actually dead to yourself, and you're dead to your desires, and you're dead to your lusts, and you live for Christ. Very different. Very different. And like I said at the beginning, Christianity is not about making you feel comfortable. Christianity is not about you feeling good. Christianity is actually about you living for Christ.
Amen.
Because you belong to Him. And that's not popular, I don't think. I don't think that's popular. I don't even think it's popular for any of us. Okay? None of us. The truth is that if Christianity is easy for your flesh, and there's no conflict between your flesh and the Christianity that you have, then there's probably something wrong. Christianity should present a conflict between you and it. Christianity should make you think, man, I've got a problem because I want to do this, but I don't want to do this, and there's a battle going on. You read Galatians, this is what it is. There's a war between your spirit and your flesh. There's a spirit living within you, and there's a war there because y'all are seeking opposite things. And so yes, Christianity isn't the easiest life or the simplest life or the life that looks the most attractive maybe in different ways, especially those that are seeking comfort. Yet it is the life that God called us to. Desiring His return. I mean, there's so much that your mind could be consumed by. Thinking and waiting for His return. Seeking, right? Looking for the coming of the Lord. All these things. And yet, we gotta be careful for allowing our mind to get so consumed with all these other things that we're not consumed with Christ. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Amen.
We are seeking to please God, and that takes a renewing of our mind, where we are not living for ourselves. Our mind is not consumed upon ourselves. It's consumed upon Christ. And that's the renewing of our mind. And that's what Christians should live for. A mind consumed by Christ. Not only the mind, and I think, again, this is just a way I wanted to present it. It's your mind being consumed by Christ, and it's also your body that is completely surrendered to Christ. He says there, while we're in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." A body that is completely surrendered to Christ. A body, our body that is sacrificing itself for Christ all the time.
Amen.
That's what Christianity looks like. This is what being crucified to the flesh means. A body that is completely ready to serve Christ, even though it's going to cost us, even though it's going to be sacrificial. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, right? He talks to us and he tells us about our bodies being purchased by Him and our bodies belong to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that our bodies are temples. Our body is a temple of Christ and therefore they belong to Him.
Amen.
And yet, again, this goes against everything in our own being that we want to think of, and it goes against worldly doctrine that our body is ours and I can do what I want with my body. That's not the Christian gospel. The Christian gospel is when you surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ, you now belong to Him.
Amen.
And your body belongs to Him. Why are we as Christians waiting for things to be comfortable for us to move? Waiting for things to fit our schedule to do something for Christ. Waiting for things to be according to our plans to serve Christ. Listen, serving Christ is going to be a sacrifice. That means it's not going to go according to how you have it planned or how you had it thought. It's gonna require you sacrificing your body. Think of your body as a tool in God's toolbox, and He's able to pick you up and use you at will, whenever He wants. This is how it should be. Whenever God wants to use you, can He use you? Or are you thinking, well, let's wait till it fits my schedule? There's a lot of work to be done. There, like I said, Jesus really is looking out and He's saying, the laborers are few. And He wants people to work. There's a whole lot of work to do. If you don't know what work there is to be done, just come ask some of us. Ask us, what can we do? And I'm telling you, even just here, there's a whole lot of stuff to do. You know, there's a whole lot of volunteer work to be done. There's a whole lot of people that need to be preached to. There's a whole lot of doors that need to be tagged. There's a whole lot of stuff to be done. But a lot of times we're waiting for our body to be ready to do what God maybe wants us to do, even when we don't feel ready. And so, we need to be able to crucify our flesh, sacrifice even our bodies, to be able to do the will of God. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Like I said, I know this is a very powerful question. It's personal and it's hard to think of because it is all demanding. And it's hard to think of these terms. And it is a sobering thought when He says that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's no easy task He's talking about. Crucifixion was something horrible, hard, and everybody knew it. And He's saying, you are crucifying your flesh. You're putting it to death. It's done. You're getting rid of it. And you have to crucify your flesh with the affections and lusts. I wanna, my last point would be, does your spirit exemplify Christ? Which by that I mean, do you seek to have Christ's character? Because this is what would be expected of a Christian, one who belongs to Christ, is that his character would be like His. And I think that's what He's talking about whenever He's talking about the differences between the flesh and the spirit. It's that one looks like God and the other one doesn't look like God. And so what are you doing?
Yeah.
How are you acting? What character do you want? And what is it doing in your life? Verse 15, I'm going to read there. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 15. We'll start there. He says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now there's an there's one thing right there that's a clue. It's a clue. Are you walking in the Spirit?
Amen.
Well, guess what? If you're walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is a glass that cannot contain both things, right? You're either going to be filled with wine, wherein is excess, or you're going to be filled with the Spirit. Which one is it? This is how he's saying it. See, he's saying it's very simple. It's not hard. It's not hard to understand. A 12-year-old kid can understand it. If you're walking in the Spirit, you won't be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. If you're fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, it can only mean one thing. You're not walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
And if you're not walking in the Spirit, something's off. There's a miscommunication. We don't understand. If you're living in the Spirit, if you're alive because of the Spirit, if God has given you life in His Spirit, then why aren't we walking in the Spirit?
Right.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There is a conflict there. The Spirit wants something, and the flesh wants something different. He says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So there's a list there. And you know, you can go park there today after the meeting, go home, eat, and then just read these again and think about them. Meditate on this chapter and think about it. What does our life look like? What does our mind look like? You may have your body in control, which is great. What about your mind? Is it your mind you're always just thinking about these things? You wish these things? And this is what the world is presenting. The world really doesn't have a problem with all these things. They enjoy it, they like it, they want it, and they call for it. And it's everywhere. And yet, he says here, and he does say something there interesting. He says, at the end, he says, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Yes. Listen, this is not what a Christian life looks like. He's being very clear there. This is not what a Christian life looks like. And there's a disconnect. There's something wrong if you're going around and you're living like this. You're living with this drunkenness and revelings, hatred, variance. You're living in adultery. You're living in all these things, and you call yourself a Christian. Paul is saying that doesn't add up.
Right.
Something's wrong. But the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, these are things that reflect Jesus. And these are the things that we should live in. These are the things that we should be moved towards. And we should fight against the old flesh. And I think that is a very, very good way of examining yourself. You know, he does say, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. And that is really important to do. It's not easy to do, but it is important to do. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. And I think a good thing to do is take an examination test. Do you fight against these things? Do these things bother you? Do these things, are they something that you are wanting to get out of your life because you don't want to be like that and you want to be like Christ? And listen, if you just don't care about these things and they don't affect you, and you're past that, then you're in a dangerous position. And you need to look into your life. And the life of a Christian looks like this. How about humbleness and meekness? I mean, isn't that what he says? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Let this be the way you live. This should be your attitude. This should be how you live out your emotions, your character. This is how it should be. It should be a humble and meek. And when we start walking around, as he finishes with, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That is not of Christ. We're walking around all the time thinking about ourselves and how we look better than others, and we're always exalting ourselves. Hey, that is not of Christ.
Amen.
And that's very contradictory to what the world thinks. The world is all about, man, boasting about yourself and the things that you do. And even the world is all about boasting about you doing it without anybody's help, without God. The world wants to boast that they don't need God. They can do it all without God. And James makes a very clear warning. Boy, you're wrong. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You should realize how much you need God and humble yourself before Him. And the joy of a Christian life differs greatly from a joy of a worldly joy. It's just very different. I mean, it's strange to think because, you know, the source of a Christian joy is different than the source of worldly joy. The consistency of a Christian joy goes throughout the whole thing. You know, that's an interesting thing to think about, that joy of a Christian can endure through any lifestyle that is going through. A joy of a Christian. Paul, he's in jail and he's writing about being joyful. That just doesn't connect in a worldly philosophy. Because the consistency of a Christian joy, it doesn't come from the same source. It comes from Jesus Christ, and it's constant throughout everything. Because you can go through things and you can still have joy in the Lord, and it's deep, and the joy of the Lord actually has a purpose. James tells us that we can rejoice, we can be joyful when we go through manifold temptations. You can rejoice when you're going through these things.
Amen.
What? Well, because your joy actually is in producing God pleasure. And if God is doing His will in your life and it's making you go through a hard time and difficult time and you're having to sacrifice your own body to please Christ, you can be joyful in that moment. Because that's what your life is about. Your life is crucified, and now you have newness of life, and you live for Christ.
Amen.
And this is what Christianity really looks like. This is what Christianity looks like. Do you belong to Christ? And if you do belong to Christ, you're surrendered to Christ, then does your life show that? Does your life look like it belongs to Christ? Is your mind consumed by His truth? Is your body surrendered to His service? This is what real Christianity looks like, and it's not just saying that you believe. We can't just say, I believe. No, the Christian life is about a transformation. And if you've surrendered your all to Him, you've died to yourself, and you live to Him daily. Christianity is not about being comfortable. Christianity is far from that. Christianity is about dying to yourself. Sacrificing yourself, crucifying your flesh and your desires, and giving your life to Christ, being surrendered to Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
And so, there is the exhortation of Paul that we should examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And if you belong to Christ and you're not living like Christ, then you need to get right.
Yeah.
You need to change it up. You need to be renewed. You need to be transformed. You need to get right. You need to let that sin that is in your life be affected, and your conscience needs to wake up, and you need to repent, and you need to get right with the Lord. Because this is what Christianity looks like. It's belonging to Christ and then living that. So let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer, and we'll be finished for today. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know we have so many great truths. We have so many promises that are incredible. And Lord, we are greatly comforted in all of those. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you died on the cross to save us from our sins. And Lord, we ask that you would help us as we consider your sacrifice for us. Lord, we want to be sacrificial, and we want to sacrifice ourselves for you. Lord, may we not forget what great things you've done for us. And may we, as we sung, all of our love is due to you. And we want to live that way, Lord Jesus. Please, if there's anybody here, any things that we need to be dealing with in our life, Lord, we give our minds to you, and we ask that you would reveal all these things to us. And Lord, we want to then put our minds on good things. Lord, help us to put off the distractions, put off the evil thoughts and evil imaginations. We want to cast those down, and we want to be thoughtful of you, Lord. We want our minds to be consumed by you, and we want our bodies to be completely surrendered to your service, Lord. We give ourselves to you. We're here for your service. Lord Jesus, be with us today. Help us as we come back tonight to praise you and give thanks to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be here at 7 o'clock.